Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, PA, a town of 4,500 people. And today I'm going to be talking with someone who is a mayor of a town of about the same amount of people, a little bit more. His name is Daniel Corona from Nevada, from West Wendover. And we're going to be talking about how I mispronounce words, don't know his state very well, and he's going to clue me in on the best things about his place in his state, what it's like being a mayor right now in the state of, with the coronavirus happening, the economic collapse, and what he's doing to raise the prominence of very important issues to local government and for all the people in his town. As always, please go back and subscribe and listen to past episodes. I've covered almost every state now, up to 40, with some really cool episodes coming up. And please email me if you have suggestions on other people you would like to hear from at all levels of government from any state. Still nothing from Hawaii yet, which is obviously disappointing. But I am excited to talk today to Mayor Corona. I'm sure you love having that name right now. Thank you for talking to me today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I have been joking with people that I have probably the most unfortunate surname for this moment.
But given the state of things, and not to, you know, toot your own horn too well, do you think that even you, Mayor Corona, could poll well against Donald Trump right now?
I think a wet paper bag could pull well against Donald Trump. I mean, you know, I think a wet paper bag would do a better job as president, honestly.
Well, a wet paper bag couldn't do anything, so yes, possibly.
Yes, exactly.
So it'd be interesting to see the poll. Who would you pick? but you got elected in 2016. You've been doing some great things in your town. Tell me a little bit about, when did you first care about politics? That's something I always ask everyone. You didn't just start caring about politics and government in 2016, of course.
Yeah, so the first election I really remember was the 2000 election, Bush and Gore. Mm-hmm. I was in fifth grade. I remember it vividly. Me and our class took I was in fourth grade. Ugh. Our class took did a mock election. George Bush won by like 3 points. I as a little fourth grader, remember I voted for George Bush just because that's what all my friends were doing. And I didn't know anything about politics really. And then I remember going home from school that day. It was election day. I had asked my parents who they voted for. They both said Gore. And then I asked my grandfather who he voted for, and he said Gore. And he was like, well, why are you asking? And I said, well, because we had a mock election at school, and I messed up. I voted for Bush. But I only did it because my friends did it. And so from there, I started paying a little bit more attention to politics. I watched the 2004 election very closely, but I never got involved until 2008. In 08, I was a senior in high school, volunteered on then Senator Obama's campaign. I'd come home from school, do my homework, and then hop online and phone bank from my bedroom. And so that was a really cool experience, and that really is where I got passionate about politics. And then I went to college, worked on a couple campaigns, and then just kind of fell out of it. And started to become apathetic, and and then 2012, I remember, it's crazy that, you know, one keynote speaker can really inspire someone, but watching Mayor Leon Castro deliver the keynote address at the DNC, that speech really inspired me, got me back into an interest in politics. And then 2016, I had moved back home from Vegas and decided, no one else better is running against the incumbent mayor. So why not run? And worst case scenario, I lose and go about my life. And best case scenario, I win and get to make a change. And I was lucky and won by 15 points. And you know, it's been a great experience thus far.
Right. So you represent where you kind of grew up then?
Yeah, so my family has been in the Wendover area for four generations. My great-grandparents came here with the railroad. My grandmother was born and raised here. My mother was born and raised here. And then me and my sisters were born and raised here. And so, you know, we're very deeply rooted in this community. And that's part of the reason that, you know, ultimately I decided I wanted to run.
And so you obviously in fourth grade, which I don't remember what I thought about politics in fourth grade myself, but it wasn't until sixth grade, I guess. But you were focusing on some of the big ticket items, I guess you could say then. When did you start noticing, were there local issues that came to mind as important to someone like you, especially a younger now elected official?
So the first time I ever really paid attention to local politics, I want to say I was like 13. Both of my parents are city employees. Both of them have been city employees since I was a kid. And I remember my mother and one of her coworkers were having issues with the then city manager, and they were being refused their merit pay, even though they had earned it and their department head had recommended it. And it just kept getting kicked back by the city manager. He for whatever reason, refused to allow them that pay. And then also there were some issues with, you know, vacation pay and time off and stuff. And so my mom and her coworker, they got together and decided to unionize. And I remember, I think I was 13. My parents led a protest to a city council meeting. And I remember being on that picket line and realizing, you know, the folks that we put into office locally are probably more important than who we elect as our president. Because, I mean, these people that are in elected office here locally are dealing with, you know, more day-to-day stuff that happen in our lives and really do make a huge impact.
Yeah, and I think you probably notice that now as mayor, that the way that government works or doesn't work can very much sway the activism of the citizens in terms of if they get angry or they're pleased. Those little things that you don't notice until you're paying attention are really big things to the people it affects.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of the things, I mean, that happen at the local level, many people don't even realize until it starts to affect them. And then, you know, it's almost too late, unless, you know, obviously elections can change the outcome and makeup of a body, but sometimes folks catch on too late and, you know, some damage could have already been done because, you know, folks just aren't paying attention.
Right. So tell me, you decided to run for office. What was it like running for mayor? Did you know what to expect in terms of, you know, the issues you would have to focus on as mayor? And I've talked to a lot of people where, you know, they run for office about one thing, but then realize they have to be experts in something else.
Yeah, so, I mean, I come from, you know, the world of working on campaigns and helping get people elected, and I didn't realize, because that's kind of where, you know, I'm comfortable is campaigning and getting people elected. I don't think at first I was ready for the governing part, because it's very different to go from a campaign where you're talking about these ideas and these issues. And then, you know, in my case, I was elected and sworn in a week later. So in a week, you know, I have to learn all of these ins and outs of the city government and then, you know, really get my feet on the ground so that I could start implementing the things that I was talking about. And I learned really quickly that, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe or what you want to accomplish if you can't make allies, especially as a mayor. You know, we worked very hard. It passed in 2018, but one of my big issues that I talked about on the campaign trail back in 2016 was the legalization of marijuana. Everyone knew it was going to pass in Nevada in 2016. And so what I was focusing on when I was campaigning was bringing a dispensary into the community. And it took us from the time I got elected in 2016 till 2018, we had to win an election on the city council, take an incumbent out of his seat and put someone else in it, and before we could actually make that happen, because we were unable to build that coalition on the council. And so I learned very quickly that it's one thing to go out and say that you're going to do something, and it's a whole other thing to have to really build those relationships, make allies, and then be able to implement it.
Yeah, you kind of expect people to be on your side when things make sense, and then you find out that that's not always the case.
Yeah, and I think, too, because I won by a wide margin, I just assumed, I won by a wide margin, people are going to just support, the platform that I had, because that's what the community supported. And, I mean, that's not the case.
And I'm a big supporter in YEO, the Young Elected Officials Network, and seeing younger people get elected. You weren't even 30 yet when you won, right?
No, I was elected at 25.
Oh, my goodness. Good for you, first of all. But I think a lot of people, like, their impression is, well, they're 25, they don't know what they're doing. We need to elect someone who's been in either office for many years, a first, or has 10 years of experience doing Y for any office. But, I'm sure you see a value in having younger voices at positions like mayor.
Yeah, for sure. So I ran against an incumbent mayor. She had been in elected office for a dozen years. And so one of the things that her campaign would say, and her supporters would say, that was that I lacked experience. And so one of the ways that I kind of hit back on that was to recognize that, yes, I do lack experience in elected office, but, experience is only important. What you do with your experience is more important than just having the experience for experience sake. Mm-hmm. And my opponent at the time, not much had happened under her tenure. And so I was really able to, focus on that and say, you can have all the experience in the world, but if you do nothing with it, what's the point? And then also, focusing on, I'm young, but maybe that means I'll think outside the box instead of getting trapped in that thinking of, well, we've tried this before, so it's not going to work. And so I think that really resonated with people, was that here, I am coming in, taking on this incumbent who'd been in office for a long time, and saying, look, we can shake things up, or we can just stick with the status quo. And I think people wanted to try, some new ideas and a fresh perspective out.
I'm sure there are a lot of other younger people, and not even just in their 20s, in their 30s, who worry that they're going to not be able to answer that question of, are you ready? Or they feel like they're going to be a pushback. What was the obviously you won, but what was the response like from people when you're up against an incumbent and you don't have that experience?
So a lot of people laughed me off, didn't take me seriously. I would knock on people's doors and they'd, comment, whoa, I didn't realize you were so young, or, I heard it all about my age. And then when I was elected, it was really unfortunate. So our community is about 80% Latino. My last name's Corona. And someone who, I really respected, who I thought was a respectable member of our community, made the comment in public that I only won because the Latinos in the community just voted for me because my last name's Corona, and they didn't realize that I was young and had no experience. And that really, that kind of hurt me, obviously. But I think that, people did know who I was. I knocked on every single door in town, so there was no way that anyone didn't know I was young. They saw my face at their door. And I think that that's always going to be the pushback from people is they're always going to go after your age if you're young, and you just have to push through it and persevere, because, you know, when you win and you're able to make change, they, you know, have to eat crow. So it works out.
Yeah, and but they can't. They might have to eat crow. You're right. Someone's going to have to lose. Oh, and there's always going to be someone upset unless you won 100% of the vote, which rarely happens.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about trying to get things done in the council. Did you have allies in elected office when you started, or did you have to start building that up and that was a whole new thing for you?
I had to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I ran, I got no endorsements. I did have a couple council members we have a 5-member council. I had 2 council members who had reached out to me and said, hey, I'm privately polling for you. And so when I got into elected office, like, those became natural allies. But then we still obviously didn't have a majority of the council. I worked really hard at building those relationships. I was able to make inroads with a couple council members, and one of them was just a brick wall. And so we handled that at the ballot box and replaced him with someone else. So now it's a much different experience than it was 2 years ago, because I have the majority of the council behind me. And we're able to, you know, really work well together.
So for other young people who want to become mayor, and there do seem to be a lot of young mayors in this country, have you reached out to others who are younger mayors and gotten solidarity and support and ideas from others?
You know, that's one thing. So I love YEO because of that. Mm-hmm. Because it's given me that opportunity to connect with other young mayors and learn from them and share experiences with them. And so, I mean, that's one great thing. And I've also been working since its inception with Run for Something to help mentor candidates so that, you know, especially here in Nevada, we're trying to build a young progressive bench. And we've done a great job at the state level in our state house and state senate. But we've done a really bad job at it in our municipalities. And so I've really been working closely with Run for Something to help mentor some of those candidates so that when they get into elected office, we've already made that contact and we're able to, once again, share experiences and learn from each other.
Yeah, I love Run for Something, too. We both follow each other on Twitter. That's how we connected. And you know, I've been looking for people who've been involved with it. And so they weren't around when you saw Run for Something as an organization, were you like, finally, this is a thing?
So at first, obviously my first reaction was like, well, of course this is created after I already win my election. This mm-hmm. would have been nice a few months ago. But then the secondary reaction is, this is awesome. It's so badly needed, because, you know, when I started running, I had reached out to some of the contacts that I had made through working on campaigns and through just being active in the Democratic Party here in Nevada, and a lot of people laughed me off, wouldn't really give me the time of the day. It was just kind of like, oh, good luck, haha. And then I, you know, want to hear from them, they want to answer the phone when I call again. And so, you know, I think Run for Something is so vital because it gives, you know, young people that you know, lifeline almost to a network of folks that can really help them out, and also show that they have the weight of an endorsement from this national organization behind them to show that they are a serious candidate. And I think that really helps people.
Mm-hmm. And so you've talked with other young mayors, both for YEO, the Young Elected Officials Network, and Run for Something, whether it's mayors or people who are running for office. What are the lessons that are similar amongst other young people running for office that people like myself can be helpful with? Obviously, they need to raise money and awareness, but what are some of the barriers or opportunities you've seen?
I see, you know, unfortunately, in the past, I don't think it's the case anymore that, in the past, people would get elected then they would close the door behind them. And so I think one thing that especially young electeds should do, and I think are starting to do a better job at, is, you know, bursting through that door and then holding that door open and, you know, kind of guiding other folks through so that we can have even more young people in elected office. Also, you know, I think that one thing that I hear time and time again is that people are the first or the youngest or the only. And I think that, you know, it's crucial that we all recognize, you know, our piece of history that we're each claiming to, but to make sure that we're not the last, and we do that again by mentoring other young people, whether it's even, you know, just a friend that has a slight interest in politics. You know, they don't have to run for office tomorrow, but, you know, just mentoring them and talking them through it and you know, helping, you know, when they do decide they want to run for office, being supportive and being that system that people need. And I think that's really important.
Right. And what are kind of the benefits? You got in and you started building a coalition. What are some of the lessons that especially younger people can learn, whether as a mayor or city council person, about building those governing coalitions? How can we all improve on that?
So I think the first thing is to recognize that not everyone that disagrees with you is necessarily your enemy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good lesson.
You know, there's people on the council that I agree with 99.9% of the issues on, but that 0.1% can sometimes be a real sticking point and could be a really hot button issue. And so it's easy to let things get out of control and get ugly, but it's a whole nother level to just recognize that, hey, you know, there's that mutual respect there. We respect each other. We know that we agree on most issues. So let's try to find some common ground on this issue. And if we can't, then we'll just have to agree to disagree, but not to make it nasty. And that was one thing that I learned kind of the hard way. Again, with the marijuana issue, I got elected supporting marijuana. The legalization of marijuana passed in West Wendover overwhelmingly. And so I thought, you know, I'd get into office and pass an ordinance to allow a dispensary, and we would just go on with our lives. And I had one council member who we both took it, our disagreement, to probably places that we shouldn't have. And it ended up becoming a personal battle instead of a battle about the issue. And so I wish I would have learned that lesson a little bit sooner before, you know, I made some of those mistakes. But now that I do, I know, you know, you have to remove the politics and step aside sometimes and remember, you know, this is a person that I work well with 90% of the time. We shouldn't ruin relationships over one issue.
Yeah, I think that can be hard because some of those issues, sometimes even on a local level, can be even more personal than those bigger votes. You feel so invested in it.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I've only talked to a couple people from Nevada for my podcast. I talked with Sarah Peters, an assemblywoman, last year. And Nevada stands out as the only state with a majority female legislature, two female senators. And with that in mind, from when you were in fourth grade in 2000 till now, what's the biggest change in your state's politics as we move along for 2020?
Well, we've also elected in 2018 the first Democratic governor in two decades when we elected Governor Sisolak. So I think Nevada is starting to move. I mean, forever we were a purple state. As long as I can remember, my entire life, we've been a swing state. And I think, I mean, we still are a swing state to some extent, but I think we're starting to get bluer and bluer. And that's really, really exciting because, you know, obviously turning the state blue in 2018 led to some very exciting historical happenings, such as having the first majority female legislature in the country, as well as having our state's first Senate majority leader in the state Senate, that was a female. And so there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening in Nevada. And I think that it's because, you know, as the demographics of the state shift, and as, you know, our state starts to grow, it's becoming a more blue and progressive place that, you know, I'm really excited to call home.
Great. I'd love, I haven't been there since, how old was I when I was there? I think I was 20. No, 17. I was 17 when I was in Las Vegas. And so I'd love to go back. But now you're mayor, you got some of those things passed, you've built a coalition. What do you want to get done and focus on, especially with all of the challenges happening right now?
So one of our big, obviously our big focus right now is COVID-19. So West Wendover, we sit on the border with Utah. We're an hour and a half drive from Salt Lake City. So because of this, we're very reliant on the gaming industry. We've got five large casinos. Any given weekend, we have up to 20,000 people from out of town, in town visiting to gamble, to drink, to take in a show. And so because of COVID-19 kind of shutting everything down, we're now starting to weather the economic impact of that. We're reopened now, but our revenues from the state, especially our gaming revenues, are delayed by, I think it's about 3 months. And so we're just barely starting to see, you know, the impact of having those closures, you know, start to trickle in. I think this month we got our March numbers. We were shut half of the month. And then next month it will be really scary to see the April numbers, where there will probably be, you know, next to nothing in revenue coming in. And so we're really focusing on how we can, you know, manage this crisis economically without having to cut any services to the city residents, without having to ask our employees to take a pay cut or layoffs. And so that's really where our focus is right now.
Yeah, it's a really hard time for anyone in local office, I think, especially. I was just on a conference call this earlier today with members of our council, and talking about having to make a layoff or having to, you know, renegotiate some labor thing. Because I imagine West Wendover is like Bridgeport in that your budget is not that easy to cut. There's not like a lot of big expenditures you can just not do. It's a pretty streamlined budget.
Yeah, there isn't very many places you can cut from without impacting someone's life in some way. And so we're really trying to avoid that to whatever extent we can.
Yeah, and so with those concerns in mind, we talked about young people running and getting into office. This is a very challenging time with COVID-19 and the economic fallout of it. There's one viewpoint that says this is why we need to have, you know, nothing against him. I'm voting for him. You know, people will say this is why we need the Joe Bidens of the world with 30 years experience to be in office to ease things. But why do you think that young people need to be in office right now with these particular daunting challenges?
I think for two reasons. So the first and probably most important is that, you know, the budget of a city should really reflect the city's, you know, kind of morals and what the city stands for. And I think in many places, the people that can speak to that the best are the young people. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are probably going to be the most impacted by any cuts to services. Also, and the second reason I think it's important is young people are more likely to think outside the box and get creative, and find creative solutions and, you know, potentially creative cuts that no one else would have necessarily seen. And so I think that's why it's important. I mean, otherwise you have people who might have held office in the 2008 recession, and it's easy, you know, to go back and say, well, why don't we just cut exactly what we cut in 2008? In many cities that meant cuts to public safety, and it's really, you know, that the best thing, especially right now during a pandemic? Probably not. And so I think that you know, having more young people in elected office, you're going to have, you know, probably some more creative cuts, and also, you know, people that are there to protect the services that are the most vital to the most vulnerable in our communities.
Yeah, and with that in mind, it's also why we need people who are part of those vulnerable communities to be in office so that they're at the table.
Exactly.
All right, with that in mind, I mean, this is the question that I basically just asked. Is there any other reason why we should have, you want to see more people run for office in your state or any similar thing? There's, I know, I feel like it's a redundant question, and I apologize, but that's how I always push this. It's, you should run. What is your very quick position on why more people should be running for office in 2020, 2021, and beyond?
Well, probably the most important reason is representation. You know, most elected officials are, you know, middle-aged white men. We know that that's not, you know, necessarily what our country looks like. So we need more people of color, more women, more LGBTQ folks to start running for office and win elected office so that our elected bodies look more like the communities they serve. And I think that that's, you know, very important.
Yeah, speaking as now a middle-aged white guy, I guess, because I just turned 40, I agree with you. We need that. It's you learn a lot by having more diverse voices. So finally, if people want to learn more about West Wendover, if they want to learn about you know, your lessons, how would you want them to get in touch with you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter, at Daniel Corona NV. I'm on Instagram as well, at Mayor Corona, and then Facebook, Mayor Daniel Corona. Any of those places are great places to find me. I try to stay pretty active on all three platforms and constantly updating. And, you know, if anyone ever asks any questions, I try to answer as quickly as possible. You know, my inboxes are open. I love, you know, connecting with new people and talking to new people. So reach out to me.
Well, and just so you know, we didn't talk about this on here, but the Mayor Corona does, his name does come up as Take Your Census, which is very important, especially to towns like ours, where federal funding is critical. And I imagine right now, especially, you want to make sure that all of your residents take part in the census right now.
Yes, yes. Please, 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 no matter where you live, take your census. It's so important, especially right now, to local governments, that every single person gets counted so that we can get the funding that we need to continue to provide the services that we do.
Great. Well, the other thing we need to do is have more people like Daniel Corona running for office, whatever state you live in, and hopefully someone from Utah too, because I haven't had that state on this podcast yet. And so if you're listening, please follow Daniel on Twitter, follow Run for Something and YEO Network as well, and subscribe and listen to past episodes, and maybe you should run for office as well. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you.